Once again, this is Jim Rowell, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about the elementary principles of Christ, as Paul talks about here in Hebrews 6, and he's giving instruction to baby Christians, and they've been Christians for a while, because Paul says in chapter 5, verse 12, he said, "By this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." Well, he's drawing a comparison here between those who need the elementary principles of the faith of Jesus Christ as those babes who need milk. And so we all need milk. There's all the time, we all have a time in our life when we need milk, when we need to be fed, just like a newborn baby. He needs his mother's milk, and so he gets stronger, he gets bigger, eventually gets teeth. He wants to start eating food, and after a while, when he's a grown person, then he's eating beefsteak and potatoes and vegetables. And so that is God's will for your life, beloved, that you not stay all of your life just drinking the milk. He wants you to move on from the elementary principles to the deeper revelations, the deeper understanding, the deeper guidance of the Word of God. And so as you dig into the Word, as you look and consider the Word and all of its ramifications, and you meditate on the Word, and you stay in the Word, and you stay in good teaching, and you sit under good teaching, then all of those things that you have questions about, all of those things that you don't know about, God will reveal them to you. He will give revelation, and then you will be able to teach others. That's God's plan for your life, that you not stay on the milk, but that you get on the solid food, and then you turn around and you teach the elementary principles to others, and they can know Jesus Christ as their Lord. They can come to know the elementary principles. They can get saved. And they can then turn around in their own good time and teach others about the elementary principles of Christ. And so this is the way the kingdom moved forward. It is a bit like leaven. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. And when a person puts that leaven in a basket or a bowl of flour, then it leavens the whole bowl. It leavens the whole lump of the dough, and so it just permeates, it goes through, and it soaks up the whole bowl of flour till every single little particle of the flour has been soaked up with that leaven. And so then the bread starts to rise, the bread starts to expand, and that is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is designed to expand, and it has to expand through the people who know about Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It has to expand through those who have already been saved. Then it's God's plan that we turn around and we share the good news of the gospel with others who are not saved. If you're saved out there today and you are not sharing the gospel, if you're a silent Christian and you don't have any unction or any motivation to share the gospel with other people, I question whether you're really saved. And so you might pray about that. Ask the Lord, "Lord, am I really saved?" If you're not sure, then you need to confess your faith and your belief in Jesus Christ before men. You need to find some people to confess to and confess and repent of your sin, turn from your wicked way, and then move forward in your Christian walk and become a spokesman, become somebody who is not hiding their testimony. In Revelation 12, verse 11, it says that they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so, beloved, by your testimony, you can encourage others. By your testimony, you can strengthen your own walk. By your testimony, you can bring people out of the unsaved world into the saved world, not you just by yourself, but with the aid of the Holy Spirit when it convicts people of their sin. And so your testimony is very important. God does not want you to be a secret agent Christian. He does not want you to be silent. We will not be silent, beloved. We have to speak out as Christians. And so God wants you to go from the elementary principle, the feeding of just being on milk, and take in the solid food and then start to share with others the joy and the peace and the love that you have come to find in Jesus Christ. Well, back to Hebrews 5, chapter 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age or who are of maturity, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so that's God's will for your life, that you be able to discern good and evil. If a person claims to know Jesus and they're out there living for the devil, and a person cannot separate themselves from addiction, cannot separate themselves from living a life that is unrighteous and wicked, then again, you have to wonder, are they really saved? Do they really know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? It's not enough to just mouth the fact, I know Jesus, I know God, yes, and speak some scripture. Even the devil himself knows some scripture. But when you are really mature in your faith, when you really have come to a place of maturity and you're living on solid food, Paul says, then you can exercise and have your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that is our job. We have to know when the devil is sneaking up on us. We have to know when the devil is setting traps for us. We have to know when there is opposition, and we need to be in a time of prayer and a season of prayer and fasting. And so all of these things are important for a believer who is mature in his faith and understands the difference between good and evil. Well, in chapter 6 of Hebrews, Paul goes on here then to say, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. And so he lists six things here through these first two verses in chapter 6. He lists six things here which are elementary principles, which he considers to be elementary principles. And he says, we're not going to go lay the foundation of these again. We're not going to keep hammering on these six principles, because this is the milk and this is for the babes. This is not for the mature. This is not solid food. And so I'm going to go over these six things, and I want you to analyze in your own life, in your own Christian walk, in your own belief, your own theology, your own relationship with the Lord Jesus, where you stand with these six elementary principles. Do you have an understanding of them? Do you have a knowledge of them? Do you know how they apply to your Christian walk? Do you know how they apply to your life here on this earth in relation to evangelism, in relation to sharing the gospel, in relation to your coming face to face with Jesus in your death? All of these things are elementary principles, and so it is important that you have a good understanding of them. It is important that you move on from them as you have a good understanding and move on to solid food in your life. So the first elementary principle that Paul talks about here in chapter 6, verse 1, is repentance from dead works. Beloved, you have to understand, and I'm sure most of you do, that we have to repent, that we need to repent. The Christian faith is built on the foundation of the fact that Jesus Christ came to die for your sin. He came to die for my sin, that we're all sinners, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And so we are all sinners when you come to the recognition of the fact that you are a sinner and that you cannot be reconciled back to God without coming through Jesus to God, then you understand your need for a Savior. We all lie, we all cheat, and we all have that propensity even from birth. Even when we're young children, we want to be selfish. We want to lie, cheat, and steal. And so there is a need for us, when we come to that recognition, to repent of those wicked things in our life, those unrighteous things in our life, to repent and to receive the blessings of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and receive the free gift of salvation. Well, Matthew 3:2, John the Baptist, when he was the forerunner out in the wilderness speaking about the coming Messiah, he told the people, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In Matthew 3:8, when the Pharisees came to John, he says, "Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance." And so he was saying to the Pharisees, your religion isn't enough. Your religion has brought you a lot of tradition. It's brought you a lot of ritual. It's brought you a lot of powerless, mindless ritual. And he says, I want you to repent. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. And you need to repent. And Jesus told the Pharisees, he had the greatest conflict of all the conflicts that he had in his earthly ministry. He had the greatest conflict with the religious elite of the day, the Pharisees. He said, you bring a proselyte to your religion and you make them a greater son of the devil than you are yourself. And then he said, you're like whitewashed tombs. You look really good on the outside, but you don't have a heart for God on the inside. On the inside, you're full of corruption, you're full of darkness, and you're full of wickedness. And that is true of many people today. They have a form of religion, but they don't really have a love for Jesus. They have no desire to serve Jesus. They want to go through the ritual. They want to make it look like they're doing all the right things, but they have no power. They have no understanding of the solid food of the kingdom. And so God wants you to move beyond that place of understanding repentance. When you are given free gift, the free gift of eternal life, beloved, that should give you motivation and should give you a desire to go out and share the word. He who has been forgiven much loves much, and we love much because God loves us. He first loved us. God is love. And so that in itself should be a great motivation for you to get out and share the word of God. Well, the second principle, Paul says, is faith towards God. Well, we have to have faith towards God. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him, those who come to God, must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so as you have faith in God, you can't see God. Every once in a while, you might get a revelation of seeing God, and we see him through his creation primarily. The scripture speaks of the glory of God is manifested in his creation, that the heavens speak of his glory, the whole earth is filled with his glory, and the stars show the creation of God. Jesus said, even the rocks will cry out if man doesn't speak. If you disciples or if you don't speak, even the rocks are going to cry out. And so all creation speaks of the glory of God. And so we have to have faith in God to come to him. Those who come to him must know that he is. You must have an assurance through your faith that God is who he says who he is, and that you can believe in him, you can trust in him, you can trust his promises, and you can know that he loves you, he cares about you, and that the promises that he gives us in his holy word are true, they are faithful, they are yes and amen. And so you can know that God is for you and not against you. So that is the faith towards God, the elementary principle. Then he goes on in verse 2, and Paul says the doctrine of baptisms is also an elementary principle. Well, what is the doctrine of baptisms? Well, there are essentially two baptisms in the Christian faith. Many denominations don't teach this. Many pastors have no understanding of this. They understand the baptism of water, but there is also a second baptism. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire that comes for those who seek the Lord and want to have the deeper walk and the more intimate walk with the Lord. Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist, the forerunner, was out in the wilderness again, preaching and baptizing, and he said, I indeed baptize you with water for repentance, But there is one coming after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so John speaks of the two baptisms. Mark speaks about it, and Luke speaks about it, and all of the Gospels talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in addition to the water baptism. Of course, we know Jesus himself was water baptized. He came to John the Baptist, his cousin, at the Jordan River and said, "John, I need to be baptized by you." And John said, "You should be baptizing me," because John felt inferior to who he knew to be the Messiah. But Jesus said, "No, I want you to do this to fulfill all righteousness." And so, of course, Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit as well. When God touched him and God saw him, the heavens opened up and he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And at that time, the Holy Spirit came down as a dove and it alighted on Jesus Christ. And so that Holy Spirit then baptized Jesus, and he then began his earthly ministry. And so Paul says these are elementary principles, the doctrine of baptism. And in Acts, the second chapter, the Jews there and all of the people who were gathered on the day of Pentecost, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. There was thousands and thousands of them baptized with the Holy Spirit. There was 3,000 then who came into that early church in Jerusalem at the time of Pentecost. And then also in the 10th chapter of Acts, the family of Cornelius, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues, and they illustrated or gave evidence of the very same manifestation of the Holy Spirit that the Jews had in the second chapter of Acts on the day of Pentecost. And when Peter saw that, he saw that the family of Cornelius was manifesting the Holy Spirit through the gift of tongues. He said, "Look, they have received the Holy Spirit just the same as we have, in the very same way. And what prevents us then from baptizing them with water?" And so they went and they baptized Cornelius' family with water. And so those are the two baptisms. Paul calls that elementary teaching, the doctrine of baptisms. Well, then the fourth thing is the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands is an elementary principle. People impart blessings, they impart fire, they impart spiritual gifts and other things. They impart healing through their hands. There's no particular power in the hands, but the power comes from God. The power comes from the Holy Spirit. The power comes from Jesus Christ. But in order to sometimes impart, instill into another person certain anointings and certain motivations and certain spiritual blessings, then people have hands laid on them, prayed for, and sent on their way to do different things. Acts 13:3, it says here, "Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." Well, this is speaking of Paul and Barnabas. They were sent out on the first mission trip away from brothers at Antioch, and so they went out on the first mission trip, and they were ordained as apostles. They were ordained as missionaries to go out and spread the word, preach the word. And Paul and Barnabas, and actually Mark went with them at that time, and they took off and they went and they made a passage up into Macedonia, to Greece, to churches in Turkey, and they spread the gospel in that way after they were sent out, because the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them to do." And so we see that the laying on of hands is an important Christian doctrine. 2 Timothy 2 verse 6, Paul says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So Paul says, "I've laid hands on you, Timothy," and he probably gave him an impartation of the apostolic anointing, the impartation for preaching, the impartation of going to places where no one else had been. Paul said, "I want to lay a foundation down where no one else has put that foundation. I want to lay it down on Jesus Christ in new territory, in new places." And so Paul was then laying hands on Timothy to go out and do the very same thing with that apostolic anointing. Well, the fifth item that Paul mentions as elementary principle is the resurrection of the dead. In verse 2, he says of the resurrection of the dead, and 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, Paul talks about with the Thessalonica church the resurrection of the dead. And so he says he does not want us to be ignorant in verse 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Well, beloved, this is a picture of the rapture when Jesus comes back to gather up the church, those who have already died, those who knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who have already died. They're going to be gathered up first to go with Jesus, and they're going to meet him in the air, in the clouds. Then those of us who are alive and remain, those of us who are living at that time when Jesus comes back, then we will follow those who are already raptured out and all already with Jesus. So there's going to be an order. It's not going to be mass chaos. There's an order. First, those who are dead will go. Then those of us who are alive and remain will go. And then we will all be gathered up with Jesus in the clouds and go back to heaven with him for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Verse 16 and 17, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And so that is the way the church is raptured out. That's the resurrection of the dead. And so that is an elementary principle. Paul wanted the Thessalonican, the baby believers there, to understand that. That is not the millennial reign. That is not the second coming of Jesus. That is the rapture. Jesus does not, in the rapture, set foot on the earth. You're gathered up in the clouds with him, and then you go back to heaven with him for the marriage supper of the Lamb. So that is the elementary principle of the resurrection of the dead. And Jesus also said in 1 Corinthians through the words of Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:20, now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And so Jesus was resurrected from the dead. It was an example to us. He was number one. He was the first fruit of all the created mankind to go back to heaven, to sit down at the right hand of God. He's number one. We all have our number, and we're all going to be resurrected. Our bodies are going to be resurrected. Our spiritual glorified bodies are going to be resurrected, just as Jesus was resurrected to join our soul and our spirits that are already in heaven with the Lord Jesus. And so that is the way the rapture will work. Well, the last elementary principle Paul talks about here is the principle of eternal judgment. Beloved, this goes along with repentance from dead works, is to know and understand and meditate on the fact that there is a judgment coming, that there is eternal judgment. If you've already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the judgment that you will undergo or you will have to appear at is the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10, and you will be judged according to your works, the things that you have done here on this earth, according to your works, whether good or bad. It's not a judgment for salvation. Condemnation of the devil, the condemnation for your sin, is already removed off of you at that point by your confession of faith, by your belief in Jesus. And so you're just going to be judged for your works here that you've done on this earth. But for those who don't believe, for those who have not received the light of the gospel, the good news of the gospel, and have continually rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, for them, the judgment is in Revelation 20, chapter 11, and that judgment is according to salvation. It is unto salvation, and those people are judged as unrighteous. They are judged as condemned because they did not receive the love and the grace and the good gift of eternal life from the Lord, and so they will be sent into the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. Hebrews 9:27 says, "We are appointed once to die, and then comes the judgment." So you only get one shot at it. There's only one life to live. This is it. There's no reincarnation. Those are no purgatory. There's no second chance. Your loved ones can't pray you out of any place of purgatory or any place of hell. You have one shot to accept Jesus, and that is your life. You don't know when it's going to end. I would suggest you get right with the Lord. I would suggest you turn to Him and seek Him and cry out to Him and repent of your wicked ways, repent and accept the free gift of eternal life, that you can know, that you can know for certain that you are saved beyond any doubt that you may have. Well, God bless you. Thank you for listening today. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry kept on the air by listeners just like you. I invite you to come alongside this ministry, partner with us, sit down, write out a check, send it in to Box 92, and we appreciate those of you who have supported us over the years and who have listened for many years, and we invite every single one of you to help support this ministry to keep these messages coming on the air here. And we thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.